I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU and 88.5 WMUB. Glad to have you along this morning. And on the phone with me is Carrie Rikes, whose new novel is called What You Wish For. You may remember that we have spoken to Carrie previously with her debut novel, Leaving Unknown. Carrie is the daughter of Kathy Rikes, the author of the Temperance Brennan series and the Bones television show. And Carrie sort of following in her mother's footsteps and just as gifted a writer. It's good to welcome you to Cincinnati Edition, Carrie.
Thanks, Mark. I'm glad to be back.
Well, What You Wish For is about building a family, about folks who want babies and folks who don't want babies. And I know from our previous conversation that you are a single mother of a toddler right now, and it became pretty obvious that this grew out of that experience. Was it all the encounters with people that you encountered on your journey that sparked this novel?
I think it was more just how common my journey was without people being aware of it. We're starting to see bubbling up in contemporary consciousness shows like Modern Family and The New Normal, which are reflecting the different paths that a lot of individuals and couples are taking to family, whether they require some medical assistance through IVF or surrogacy or donor materials, or if you're single and you suddenly find yourself at that terrible crossroads of age and interest and you want a family but don't have the relationship that would help you follow a traditional route, where I found myself, and you suddenly have to make a very difficult decision. So I wanted to write and try to capture that experience in the uniqueness of it, but also in the commonality of what everyone shares, which is the interest in becoming a parent.
And you really look at that journey from many different angles. You follow a handful of characters, each with their own story and a different take on things. And I found it very interesting that some of the stories you tell, you don't necessarily talk about a gay couple looking for a baby, but you do have a character who is a high school principal or a school principal named Wyatt, who's single and heterosexual and wants to have a baby. Where did Wyatt come from?
Wyatt, who is one of my absolute favorite characters, came from the fact that really he's never been written before, and you always want to think of a common story, make it unique, and then at the same time make it relatable. And Wyatt is sort of every man, and he is the male counterpart of the common female story of a woman of a certain age who wants children but never found the right man. Well, Wyatt is a man of a certain age who wants children and didn't find the right woman. And I also like to explore a little bit of our sort of confusing mixed messages we send about paternity. We want our men involved, but if they're too involved, we become slightly uncomfortable with it, heterosexual men. So, you know, exploring a little bit of that and some of our potential prejudices that exist in society about that, and also, frankly, just the difficulties of adoption and some of the challenges that people seeking to adopt undergo.
Well, you know, he's a straight single person and wants to pursue adoption, but as he does, he gets lots of second glances and, as you say, suspicions of perversion. And was it difficult to write from that perspective? Because that was a story, you know, I found a little difficult to read.
It is hard for people because he is such a likable character, and the challenges he faces make you as a reader so frustrated because you really want Wyatt to get what he deserves in terms of a family. Often I'm asked which character I identify with the most, and the easy answer would be Dimple, who is our heroine. She's a young woman who is 40. She's making the difficult decision about whether or not to embrace single motherhood and also the impact that might have on her successful career. And ironically, because I was pregnant during most of the writing of What You Wish For, Dimple was not the character I most identified with. It was Wyatt and the anxiety that he went through approaching parenthood, in particular single parenthood. And so there's a scene where he goes to Target and he's overwhelmed by the enormity of stuff that a baby requires. And, you know, this was an experience that I had. So while his story is not my story, what makes this book, I think, a great story for everyone is that you can identify with the experience of each of these people in their path to parenthood.
You also attack the political aspect of this issue with the characters of Marin and her husband, Andy, who she had breast cancer, so they froze some embryos in the hopes of having kids in the future, but then became divorced, and it becomes a fight over the eggs, and a very political fight, too. Did you feel it was important to bring those politics into the story?
I think it's essential if you want to have accuracy in your storytelling. I like to say that I don't take my stories from the headlines. I take them from page 8, things that are interesting to me that will become the headlines. When I started writing What You Wish For, only one instance of embryo personhood had reached serious legal consideration, and it was in Georgia. And the ultimate bill that was passed had to do with in utero adoption, and really very different from a personhood bill. And today we see a lot of legislation related to IVF, frozen embryos, the legal status of these. And our science has just outpaced our laws and our social understanding, and we're trying to catch up a little bit. And I find it really a compelling story. I don't have a political position. I'm not selling a political agenda. But I find it interesting that in this most personal of decisions, you would suddenly be part of a very public controversy because it invokes complicated issues of law, science, religion, and emotion.
The other side of the coin, this is not just a book about wanting a baby and how you go about getting a baby or having a baby, but it's also for folks who, and I know a couple of people in my own life, people who don't want children, and that they are sometimes looked at with suspicion as well. So there's the other side of the sword, I suppose you could say.
I can't tell you how fun it is for me, now that the book is out, to have so many women I'm friends with come up to me and say, oh, you based that character Eva on me because I never wanted kids. And she is based on a couple of my friends, and I've, you know, found it fascinating because I always was very driven by the fact that I wanted children so much. And these are women who very clearly knew that they didn't want children ever. And in a way, I think we have the easiest because our convictions are quite firm. But it also explores how difficult it might be for her to find a relationship because so many people do see children as the natural next step for them. And for a woman who doesn't want kids, to find a partner can be a challenge.
Well, what else has surprised you about reaction to the book? Since you are, this can be a very polarizing issue, whether, you know, to have kids or not to have kids, or desiring kids and being in a non-traditional lifestyle. What kind of reaction have you faced as you go around touring with this book?
I think the two most interesting reactions have been how quickly people go to the political aspect. And, you know, I want to reiterate, it's not a political book, and I very firmly try not to have any position be endorsed by the book or me as a writer. Each character may have a position that accords with their character. But also my own personal experience, you know, as a single mother by choice, people are very, very fascinated by that and want to push this almost to memoir category, which it is definitely not. This is a work of fiction. It's what I would like to call a braided storyline, and it takes these five characters. What they share in common is they each feel slightly deviant, slightly unnatural, because they're out of step with traditional societal course and expectations. And the road that they take to parenthood, because the one thing they all very clearly understand is whether they want or don't want children. And at the same time, their story is universal, because if you take out the complicated obstacles that they face on the path to childhood, their emotional response to that choice is something that I think any reader could identify with.
Well, how has your single parenthood been going, Carrie? Because I know, as I said, you you mentioned you were pregnant while writing What You Wish For, and, you seem to have gotten what you wish for. What do you think about it?
I think it's the greatest thing I've ever done. I absolutely think it's the best choice I made, and I'm so glad. My son is delightful. I think I'm a less efficient writer, but as I always tell my editor, listen, I grew a human brain from scratch in 9 months. I can get a manuscript to you on time.
Well, has it been challenging as a single parent trying to fit that work in?
It's certainly challenging to fit the work in. I'd say single parenthood is less challenging than I thought. There's certainly a village for sure. And, you know, my family and my community have all been incredibly supportive. And there's this thing called a nanny, which really makes the world go round. And we have been so fortunate to have a wonderful one. I do work full time, so having a nanny has taught me how to be much more efficient in my writing.
Carrie Reichs, the author of the new novel, What You Wish For, available in bookstores now. You can learn more about the novel and Carrie on our website, wvxu.org. Well, thanks again for spending some time this morning talking about the novel, Carrie, and best of luck in the future with both your son and the writing.
Well, thank you. I'll look forward to talking to you next book round.